News of the Times. Sinister Saturdays. The Babington Plot against Queen Elizabeth I. Welcome to News of the Times. In England, when one speaks of assassins, one name comes up immediately. Anthony Babington. 1586 was a time of great political and religious turmoil. A plot was masterminded by a group of Catholic nobles and conspirators, with Anthony Babington emerging as a central figure. The conspirators sought to depose Elizabeth I, whom they viewed as a heretic and illegitimate ruler due to her perceived status as a bastard, and install Mary Queen of Scots, a devout Catholic, as the rightful monarch of England. The plan involved the assassination of Queen Elizabeth I and a foreign invasion of England to support Mary's claim to the throne. The conspirators believed that once Elizabeth was eliminated, Mary would ascend to the throne and restore Catholicism as the dominant religion in England, and a future Catholic husband had also been planned for her. We take a whistle-stop tour of this intricate assassination story involving royalty, international intrigue, spies, counter-spies, and a family bond broken. The Babington Plot to Assassinate Queen Elizabeth I is today's episode of Sinister Saturdays. We hope you enjoy the show. Background. In 1586, England's Queen Elizabeth had been reigning monarch for some 28 years. It was deemed that Protestants received favours over their Catholic counterparts, and that Catholics were looked at with suspicion. Elizabeth herself attempted to balance a fine line of allowing everyone to choose their own religion without forcing their beliefs on others. However, the international situation was even more combustible. Elizabeth was deemed a bastard as well as a heretic, and powerful Spain were known to be plotting of ways to have her removed, as were supporters of Mary in France. With the death of Queen Elizabeth, their one hope was to place Catholic Mary, Queen of Scots, on the throne. The people involved in the Babington plot. Queen Elizabeth, the child of Henry VIII and his second wife, Anne Boleyn. Elizabeth, in general, attempts to keep a moderate line. As for herself, she is outwardly Protestant, but it has been suggested she had Catholic sympathies. A proclamation released by Pope Pius V in 1570 gave English Catholics the right to overthrow Elizabeth as the monarch of the English throne. Mary, Queen of Scots. Mary Stuart was the daughter of James V of Scotland, and at a young age she had been married to Francis, the Dauphin of France. Their marriage was cut short by his untimely death. Mary returns to Scotland and political turmoil. Through a series of poor personal choices, she is ousted from Scotland and flees to England for help from her cousin and fellow monarch, Queen Elizabeth. Elizabeth's choices are difficult, with constant smouldering Catholic threats of uprising against her. The Pope had deemed her a heretic, and killing her would have given the assassin tremendous international fame and rewards. Leaving Catholic Mary to roam free in England would give the Catholics a figurehead to supplant Elizabeth with. Now, if she gave English troops and money to Mary, as Mary initially expected her to do, to return to Scotland and attempt to regain her throne, Elizabeth could potentially create a raging war on her doorstep. Mary had shown herself much less politically adept than Elizabeth, and there was always, with Mary, the taint of her potential involvement in the murder of her husband, Lord Darnley. Would Mary's own people support her as their monarch? And it was a reasonable question to ask. If Mary were to be released to the continent, either France or Spain could use her as a figurehead to supplant Elizabeth. This left the choice to imprison Mary, thereby not assassinating a head of state, but also not allowing Mary to be used against Elizabeth. Sir Francis Walsingham, commonly referred to as Elizabeth's spymaster, in today's parlance, he would be considered the head of counterintelligence. Noted as a very clever man, his most strident concern based on events was to be caught unawares in a coup attempt. With the long-term imprisonment of Queen Mary and reports from abroad of various plots to remove Elizabeth and place Mary on the English throne with a Spanish husband, to Walsingham the threat of an internal coup was constant. Walsingham manages to infiltrate groups that are supportive of Mary Stuart, and from this vantage point he helps to weave a plan that will trap Mary as being personally involved in an attempt to remove Elizabeth from the throne. This would enable Mary to be executed, which Elizabeth continued to be loath to do. In essence, he creates a scenario and bait that pushes Mary to act more blatantly. Gilbert Gifford. Gifford was Walsingham's spy and acted as a double agent. He became a trusted member of Mary's inner circle. Thomas Phelps, a codebreaker and famed linguist, he was crucial in unlocking coded messages from Mary to the team who had come together to free Mary and execute Elizabeth. Anthony Babington. Anthony Babington, 25, and third son of Sir Henry Babington, who had died when he was a child, was young with few family prospects. His family acted as Protestants, but privately practiced Catholicism. He becomes radicalized in his travels in Europe. Babington and the plot are described in the papers. From the Nottingham Journal, the 15th of December, 1941, Anthony Babington, for 19 long, distressing years, was Queen Mary of Scots held prisoner by Elizabeth almost half of her life. Backwards and forwards from stronghold to castle she journeyed, even under the watchful eye of a Talbot or a Paulette. There was something uncannily attractive about Mary Stuart, something in her pale, majestic, auburn-haired loveliness that lured men to their death. While she held the throne beyond the border, Rizzio, Darnley, Lethington and Norfolk, even Bothwell, each fluttered around for a time as if hypnotized, only to lose their heads, both mentally and in fact. Heads of infatuated worshippers set as milestones along the royal way. Anthony Babington was a devoted Catholic, despite the fact that he hovered in the anterooms of the court of Elizabeth. Publicly, he had sworn allegiance to the Tudor succession, but inwardly his sympathies were with Catholic Mary. There were men serving Elizabeth who dare not contemplate any possibility of Mary's accession to the English throne. All their hopes, wealth, and fortunes depended on a Protestant state. Whilst Mary lived, such hopes might well prove to be but dupes. There was only one way to security, and that was a desperate one. Walsingham, the cruel, calculating Secretary of State to Elizabeth, set about the task of obtaining evidence with which to bring Mary to the block. He knew the most likely course. Co-religionists could well be trusted to rush in if only an opportunity were given, and Anthony Babington was one of a group whose infatuation for the Scottish Queen brought doom to themselves and certain death to Mary. The build-up. Tension was always bubbling underneath the surface during Queen Elizabeth's reign, with a possibility of Catholic rebellion. There was a long build-up resulting in the Babington plot, including the Papal Bull, 1570. The Pope excommunicates Elizabeth I, naming her a heretic, and encouraging true Catholics to remove her from the throne. The Ridolfi plot, 1571. So named as the instigator was Roberto Ridolfo, an international banker who travelled the continent. The plot uncovered involved the Duke of Norfolk in conjunction with foreign powers. Attempting to arrange the marriage of Mary Stuart to the Catholic Duke of Norfolk, a cousin of Elizabeth I, the plot entailed the deposing of Elizabeth as monarch with the subsequent return to England to Catholicism. It was uncovered by Walsingham. Anthony Babington Travels, 1580. Babington meets Thomas Morgan abroad, who convinces him to relay secret letters from France to Mary through his contacts within her household. He is convinced by Walsingham's spies that there is a large group of gentry, such as himself, who all wish to see Mary placed as the reigning monarch of England, thereby reverting the country back to Catholicism. He had been radicalised. The Throckmorton Plot, 1583. In 1583, through Walsingham's spy network, a plot under the guidance of Francis Throckmorton is discovered. Throckmorton, a relative to a friend of Walsingham's, was discovered to be in contact with foreign powers to invade England, free Mary, Queen of Scots, and depose Elizabeth I and execute her. The Act of Surety of the Queen's Person, 1585. A legal process was passed by Parliament that gave more legal powers for Walsingham and his team to investigate possible suspects who wished to take over the throne. The Babington Plot, 1586. What made the Babington Plot different was the direct proof that Mary herself had given her approval of the removal and execution of Elizabeth, replacing herself as ruling monarch. With this proof, Mary could be tried and executed for treason. The Trap. Mary was regularly known to be in correspondence with foreign powers, and was aware that her messages, secret or otherwise, were monitored. Mary encrypted all of her letters, which is where the importance of Walsingham's Thomas Phelps, linguist and master codebreaker, came in. With both Mary and Walsingham aware that there were spies and counter-spies involved, and with her knowledge that her messages were being monitored, Walsingham came up with a plan. Mary was moved from the previously light imprisonment under the Earl of Shrewsbury, and a far stricter watch was placed upon her, curtailing many of her former privileges. With the enforced tightening of security, a new means of delivering messages from Babington and indirectly foreign powers was needed. Gilbert Gifford had been turned by Walsingham. He had been known to have had meetings with supporters of Mary's in France. Upon his return to England, he was promptly arrested, questioned, and threatened, and given the option of imprisonment or to act as a double agent for Walsingham.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Bloody FM presents Hometown Ghost Stories, a paranormal podcast that investigates a new town every week, bringing you all the hauntings, from haunted houses to castles, bridges to asylums, wandering spirits to demons. Over 100 episodes covering different towns all over the world. Tune in to Hometown Ghost Stories live on YouTube every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern or on any podcast platform and find out if your hometown is haunted.
From Mary Queen of Scots by John Hussack in 1869, Gilbert Gifford is alleged to have been the real author of the Babington Conspiracy. Gifford was a young man of a good Catholic family in Staffordshire. His father had been imprisoned on account of his religion, and he himself had been sent to France in his boyhood and educated at the Jesuit seminary in Reims. At what time and under what circumstances he was first employed by Walsingham is not known, but from the description left of him by the French ambassador, he must have been a very young man. For several months during the year 1585, we find that he is in Paris. They were well aware of the rigorous nature of Mary's imprisonment under her new keeper, and when Gifford suggested to them a plan by which she might be enabled to communicate with her friends, they listened readily to his proposals. Gifford professed himself a devoted adherent of the captive queen, and the religion and the family connections of the young Jesuit disarmed all suspicion on the part of Mary's friends, who naturally regarded him as a valuable ally, and sent him in December 1585 with a strong recommendation to the French ambassador in London. On Gifford presenting himself at the embassy, he explained that he had come to England for the purpose of devising some plan by which the Queen of Scots might be enabled to correspond with her friends, a privilege which was now wholly denied to her. He added that at Chartley, where she was then confined, was but a short distance from his father's house. He hoped to find some means of accomplishing this important object. With Mary and her conspirators desperate for a means to communicate with each other, Walsingham, through Gilbert Gifford, comes up with the infamous beer barrel idea. Beer was delivered weekly to Chartley Castle, where Mary was imprisoned, and a plan is devised where a secret compartment was built into the caskets. The idea was that the messages would be left in the secret compartment, the beer would be drawn off, and the letters then relayed through the caskets, coming and being returned. From Mary Queen of Scots by John Hussack in 1869, Burton was then, as now, famed for the excellence of its beer, and he ascertained that once a week supply was brought to the castle by a certain brewer of that ancient town. With the knowledge and convenience of Sir Amias Paulet, Gifford introduced himself to this man and proposed that he should become the channel of communication between the Queen of Scots and her pretended friends. The brewer, whose name has not been preserved, received from those who employed him the derisive designation of Honest Man, being assured that Sir Amias Paulet approved of it, and expected to be well rewarded for his trouble. The Honest Man readily assented to Gifford's scheme. A small box was constructed and made to fit into the bottom, probably a false one, of the barrel of beer, which arrived once a week at Chartley Castle. The butler, who drew off the beer, then delivered the box to one of Mary's secretaries, who opened it and handed the letter or papers which it contained to his mistress. In the following week, when the honest man returned, the box, with the reply of the queen or her secretaries, was replaced in the empty barrel and in due time reached Gifford's hands. As the whole of Mary's correspondence was at this time carried on in cipher, the letters were then sent up to London to be deciphered. Copies were then made and the ciphered letters were either detained or sent on to the person to whom they were addressed, as Walsingham might determine. But whether they always left the office of the secretary in the same condition in which they reached it is a question which it is impossible to answer in the affirmative. The device of employing the honest man as the bearer of her confidential correspondence might well have awakened the suspicion of Mary, but her situation had now become so intolerable that she was evidently prepared to run any risk for the chance of recovering her liberty. She never appears to have seen Gifford, but Paget and Morgan had assured her that he might be trusted, and by means of the honest man she sent him a letter to be delivered to the French ambassador, in which she expressed her entire confidence in the bearer, who, she added, would explain the ingenious method he had devised for enabling her to correspond with her friend. Walsingham was aware of it all from the very beginning, as he had already managed to crack the code that Mary and her co-conspirators were using. With the web made, the trap was set. Walsingham waited for proof that Mary Stuart herself was involved in the plot to depose and execute Queen Elizabeth. From Mary, Queen of Scots by John Hussack in 1869, Gifford now returned to London, where, amongst his Catholic acquaintances, he met a young man named Anthony Babington, who seemed to be an instrument in every way fitted for his design. Babington possessed a good estate in Derbyshire, and in his youth, according to the fashion of the age, had spent some time as a page in the service of the Earl of Shrewsbury, and in that capacity he had often seen, admired, and pitied the Queen of Scots. Wholly inexperienced in political intrigue, and endowed with an abundantful share of youthful vanity, he soon became as wax in the practised hands of Gifford. But although willing to risk his life in the service of the captive queen, Babington, it is said, at first recoiled from the project of assassinating her rival. He entertained such strong religious scruples on the subject that, in order to remove them, Gifford set out once more for France and returned to London accompanied by an English priest named Ballard. This man had originally been a spy for Walsingham, but having become disgusted with his occupation, was eager to repair the wrongs he had done to his fellow Catholics by rendering them some signal service. Another person arrived in London shortly afterwards who volunteered to kill Elizabeth with his own hand. This was a soldier of fortune named John Savage, who had served in the Netherlands under the Prince of Parma, and who, as it was afterwards appeared, had been the first instigated by an uncle of Gifford to undertake the murder. The arguments of Ballard and the fierce fanaticism of Savage, who had long been inured to the scenes of blood in the desperate warfare of the Netherlands, at length overcame the scruples of Babington. He even began to envy Savage the glory he would acquire by ridding the world of the heretic queen. Babington maintained that the enterprise was too hazardous and too important to be undertaken by any one man, and he proposed instead that the number of assassins should be increased to 6. Babington had many friends in London, young men of his own age and station, to whom, with the consent of Gifford and Ballard, he now disclosed the plan of the conspiracy. Among these, he selected 5 who agreed to join him in the plot. There were Chidiock Tichborne, the representative of an ancient family in Hampshire, Charles Tinley, one of the band of gentlemen pensioners of the Queen, Edward Abington, whose father had held an appointment in the Queen's household, and John Charnock of Lancashire, and an Irishman named Barnwell, who is said by Camden to have been a cadet of a noble house. Babington outlined the steps that would be taken within the attempted coup. Anthony Babington would secure soldiers in France to invade England under the banner for the restoration of Mary. The Duke of Guise in France would invade England with 60,000 troops. Elizabeth would be deposed. Elizabeth would be executed, and Mary would become Queen of England, and Catholicism would be restored. From Mary, Queen of Scots by John Hossack in 1869, against them conspirators, Walsingham was now in possession of ample evidence, but he aimed from the first at higher game. The Queen of Scots was as yet in no way implicated in the plot, and in spite of the ingenuity of Gifford, nothing had been discovered in her correspondence which would subject her to the penalties of the recent statute. The letter. The letter from Babington to Queen Mary details the plan to free her and rid the country of Elizabeth. From Mary, Queen of Scots by John Hassack, 1869. Excerpt of the letter from Babington to Queen Mary. Myself with 10 gentlemen of quality and 100 followers will undertake the delivery of your person from the hands of your enemies, and for the dispatch of the usurper, referring to Queen Elizabeth, from obedience of whom, by the excommunication of her, we are made free. There be 6 noble gentlemen, all my private friends, who, for the zeal they bear the Catholic cause and your Majesty's service, will undertake the tragical execution in reference to Queen Elizabeth. He restates that, according to their infinite deserts and your Majesty's bounty, their heroical attempts may be honourably rewarded. If they escape with life or in their posterity, and that so much by your Majesty's authority I may be able to assure them. Now it remaineth only in your Majesty's wisdom that it be reduced into method that your happy deliverance be first, for that thereupon dependeth the only good, and that the other circumstance concur that the untimely end of the one do not overthrow the rest. All of which your Majesty's wonderful experience and wisdom will dispose in so good manner as I doubt not, though God's good assistance shall take deserved effect, for the obtaining of which every one of us shall think his life most happily spent. Upon the 12th day of this month I will be in Lichfield, expecting your Majesty's answers and letters, to execute what by then shall be commanded. Your Majesty's faithful subject and sworn servant, Anthony Babington. In this portion of the letter, Mary is informed that there is a matter more important still than the murder of her rival, and that is her own deliverance from captivity, for that thereupon dependeth the only good. Babington himself, with 10 gentlemen of quality and 100 followers, was to undertake this perilous duty, whilst 6 noble gentlemen, all his private friends, were to dispatch Elizabeth. It could not be clearer the treacherous plan to depose and kill Elizabeth. All that Walsingham needs is Mary to agree, and she is caught. From Mary, Queen of Scots by John Hussack in 1869, on the 12th of July, Babington's letter reached Mary through the ordinary channel. On the following day, her secretary, Noe, wrote a short note to Babington acknowledging the receipt of his letter and informing him that an answer would be returned to it in 3 days. Noh's note was intercepted, read, and sent on to a destination, and in acquainting Walsingham with its contents, Phillips, still more confident than his chief in the success of their plot, exclaimed, "We attend her very heart at the neck." Mary's alleged answer to Babington, "Trusty and well-beloved, according to the zeal and entire affection which I have known in you towards the common cause of religion, and since having always made account of you as a principal and right worthy member to be employed both in the one and in the other, it hath been no less consolation unto me to know your estate, as I have done by your last letter, and to have further means to renew my intelligence with you, that I have felt griefs all this while past to be without the same. I pray you, therefore, to write unto me hereafter so often as you can by all concurrent news which you may judge in any sort of importunate to the good of mine affairs, wherein I shall not fail to correspond with all the care and diligence that shall be by possibility. For divers great and importunate considerations, which we were here too long to be deducted, I cannot but greatly praise and commend your common desire to prevent in time the designment of our enemies for the extirpation of our religion out of this realm. I would be glad to know the names and qualities of these six gentlemen which are to accomplish the designment, for that it may be. I shall be able, upon knowledge of the parties, to give you some further advice necessary to the following therein. And even so do I wish to be made acquainted with the names of all such principal persons, as also from time to time, particularly, how you proceed. Let the great plot commence. Signed, Mary." With Mary's consent to the plot, Walsingham moves swiftly. On the 6th of July, Babington and his conspirators are arrested. An offer of £1,000 was offered to Queen Elizabeth by Anthony Babington for his release. The offer was rejected. On the 11th of August, 1586, Mary, Queen of Scots, was arrested for treason. On the 20th of September, Babington and his fellow conspirators were all drawn, hung, and quartered, a particularly bloody and gruesome process of death. Their remains were scattered about London as a warning. On the 25th of September, Mary was moved to Fotheringay Castle in Northamptonshire. In October 1586, Mary is tried by 46 lords, bishops, and earls. She was not allowed legal representation. She argues the legality of England having the right to try and condemn a foreign anointed monarch such as herself, and she staunchly denied any knowledge of agreement to the execution of Elizabeth. The trial finds her guilty. Mary, Queen of Scots, was beheaded on the 7th of February, 1587. Postscript. A consequence of the discovery of the plot was the follow-up arrest of hundreds of Catholics and the execution of many Catholic priests. The international ramifications were significant and included Spain's failed attempt to invade England through the Spanish Armada that took place in July 1588. Queen Elizabeth died on the 24th of March 1603. She was 69 years of age and had reigned as queen for 45 years. That concludes this episode of Sinister Saturdays, the Babington plot against Queen Elizabeth I. We very much hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy this show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked, where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are frightful, where we look at crimes in a location, such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. If you like this channel, you may be interested in our sister channel, Chronicle of the Times, where we offer a lighter side of Victorian and Edwardian news stories, as well as a weekly podcast of stories from authors of the day, such as Dickens, Collins, Benson, and Conan Doyle. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.